plagued a potential nugget.
And in your experience, Michael, what's your sense of the transition timeline, right? Do you think about it as 6 months or 9 months or a year? Give us a sense of how we should think about it in terms of time.
Yeah, it's a great question again, Deepak, because, you know, obviously I wrote a book called The First 90 Days, right? And occasionally people say, well, you know, Michael Watkins says transitions take 90 days, right? And of course, I never say that. The first 90 days is about how to use that critical first few months well, right? Now, how far you get in those first few months is going to depend very greatly on the situation, right? You're in a turnaround situation. You may be, you know, needing to make very hard choices very quickly, change out a team very quickly. You know, you're going to be in a different place after 3 months than someone who's come in more of a sustaining success or realignment kind of scenario. So I tell people, don't get hung up on the first 90 days. What I would say, and I think if this gets to your point, is I think a year is a really good time frame, right? Because there's still learning to be done far beyond the first 90 days. And unfortunately, organizations often do sort of provide a lot of support intensively upfront, and then it's nothing, right? And so, you know, and so it's like, oh, yeah, and I've got all the support, and that was great and fantastic. Oh, where did that all go, right? I'm on my own, you know? Good luck and God bless, as we would say, right? So when we structure, for example, our transition coaching engagements, they're always at least 6 to 9 months. And for me, I mean, I coach pretty much exclusively CEOs these days. They are 9 to 12 months, because it really is that long before someone is fully, you know, seated, if you will, in the new role.
And just to get a sense of the themes, if you think about the 9 to 12 months, would you be comfortable talking about what are the headline themes that you sort of address over the duration? Are there,
for sure,
is there a certain seasonality to the way you address different themes at different points in time?
Absolutely. Right now, again, the specifics of the time frame vary, you know, but I love getting engaged with people before they're in the new role. Right. So another example, another CEO I'm working with, this was an external hire coming into a, you know, 10 billion revenue, 60,000 employee, you know, organization. He had been a CEO before in previous organizations, but they'd been smaller. So this was a big leap in scale for him. And I got to work with him before he actually got into the new job. And right. So what do you do when you're working with someone coming into the new job? You're helping them plan their learning process, right? What's the technical, cultural, political learning you can do? How can you jumpstart that learning, right? To begin to, you know, get up to speed with the organization. What sorts of connection can you make with key stakeholders beforehand? I often do interviews with some of those people to help, you know, kind of deepen that understanding. And then there's a critical piece about how are you going to arrive in the organization? What's your key messaging coming in? You know, how are you going to begin to connect and communicate? You know, it gets down to the level of detail of, you know, let's look at your calendar for the first, you know, 6 weeks and just talk about where you're going to be, right? And how you're going to basically arrive and show yourself, what your arrival posture, that's the term I use when I work with leaders. What's that going to be? And so with this particular CEO, we spent a lot of time doing that. What's critical in that, Deepak, sometimes, and this, it was very much the case with this CEO, the organization was really trying hard to support his arrival, right? And with the very best of intentions, they had completely filled his calendar, you know, for the first month with stuff, right? And it, so he had a calendar full of stuff. And I said, I sat down and looked at the calendar and said, we're going to rip this up and start over, right? I mean, with due respect to the organization, and with the need, by the way, and we can talk about this later if you want, to build partnerships with people in the organization to support those transitions. I mean, for CEOs, it's communications, it's HR, it's the board. You know, you need a support team, but you also need to really, you know, be somewhat forceful about, you know, deciding how that person is going to, you know, spend those first critical, you know, few weeks in the role. And I shouldn't say, you know, decide, but work with them to really proactively define what they need to do and take control of it early. And then I think the early months are often about initially about learning and connecting, right? But again, it depends a lot on how serious the issues are. Team assessment becomes very critical early, right? And so the leader transition quickly merges into thinking about the team transition and, you know, critical roles and people, and are you going to have to make some changes in personnel? And if so, what kind of timing is that going to be? And how are you going to onboard new people into the executive team? How do you want to run the executive team? Is it different than what you did before? So there's a big piece of that. There's a big piece about strategy and vision, right? You know, because typically the leader is coming in and wanting to put in place a new strategy and vision, especially if they're coming in from the outside. So not to belabor this, right? But there is absolutely a logic, you know, and as the person gets more comfortable, I generally then sort of transition into a conversation about leadership development, right? What are the skills and abilities you need to build to become fully effective as the CEO of this organization? So it's sort of that sort of thing, Deepak. And, you know, I don't have a, you know, it's day 32, you know, we're going to be in Houston, Texas kind of, you know, logic course. To it. But there is, to your point, there is a seasonality to the process typically.
Got it. Now, I was curious about a couple of things of the various things you said, Michael. One was the notion of arrival posture. I was quite curious about what you had in mind when you said that. And second was about putting a team together on the client side when you come in to enable your transition. Could you double click on both those?
Sure. So when I say arrival posture, what I mean is that, you know, the organization is straining to try and understand this, you know, who this new leader is and what they represent. Right. And so you as the new leader should be helping them do that. Right. Which means thinking through what are the key messages you want to send about yourself and your leadership in those first critical few weeks. What signals? I talk a lot about signaling and symbolism. And I'll just give you an example. Right. So with the CEO I was just talking about, there were small, you know, facilities in the organization that probably no CEO in the history of the company had ever visited, right? Or there were midnight shifts in production facilities that no CEO would ever have shown up for, right? And so if you want to send a signal of inclusiveness without being too, you know, being perceived to be too manipulative about it, you want to be thinking about, well, so maybe I'm going to show up, you know, or maybe I'm going to get out in the field and visit some places that haven't normally got attention, right? And in doing so, you can send some signals about yourself and your leadership. And, you know, I'm not saying do things that are inauthentic by any means, right? But help people understand you. That's something you can do very early, knowing almost nothing really about the organization. Does that help, Deepak? Does that give you a sense of what?
I think that's exactly what I had in, I think that clarifies of, I guess, rather than just showing up, being thoughtful and deliberate about how you want to, you know, how you want people to see you as you arrive.
Absolutely. And then on the transition support team side within the client, you know, I hate the term at some point, but it takes a village to support a new CEO coming on board, right? There's going to be key people in communications that with whom you need to engage. What I find, you know, pretty consistently is it's rare that even the best communications people in organizations have had experience with the communication associated with, you know, a new CEO, and sometimes the current CEO departing in tandem, and how do you sort of manage that so you can add some value there? Although sometimes it's funny, there's another CEO I'm working with, and his head of communications just kind of blew me away recently because she'd been involved with like 6 or 7 CEO transitions. So she just had it absolutely nailed, right? And I was just like, wow, this is wonderful, because they'd really thought about, okay, how are we going to kind of, you know, manage the outgoing CEO's transition, recognition of him, you know, celebration of his accomplishments, and then the incoming CEO, who in this case was an internal promote. And so that's an example, right? You want to forge an alliance with the communications people. You're not telling them how to do their jobs, but you're bringing a set of experience about CEO transition communication that they may not have had. The HR people, typically you want to be engaged because often they're the focal point for onboarding. It's a little funny sometimes because, you know, of course, the the CHRO or head of HR is part of the leadership team. They're being assessed by the new CEO in some circumstances. So it's much easier if, you know, it's clear that the CHRO is going to remain the CHRO. But then you really want to be forging an alliance with those people, right? So because they're often helping to structure the onboarding plan, right? The board, you want to have an alliance with the board, right? I mean, there's a recent example here where, I was really working with the board to help convince them that they didn't want as long an overlap between the outgoing CEO and the incoming one as they were planning, because in general, I'm not a huge fan of overlaps and they can really create a lot of complexity. So forging those alliances, having it, you know, seen as a team sport, Deepak, I think is kind of part of how I think about the process.
A few pieces struck me here. First, the point Michael makes about transition timeline. It takes anywhere between 6 to 12 months for the leader to be fully on the saddle with the relationships, understanding of the business, buy-in of the stakeholders, nuanced understanding of the organization culture, and so on. Interestingly enough, when organizations think about transitions, they have an onboarding plan for 1 or 2 weeks, and then the leader is thrown into the deep end. The divergence between what is required and what's offered in most contexts is quite jarring and scary, to say the least. Second is the criticality of relationships and the influence that the transition advisor has in the organization. Unlike in a developmental coaching context, where the coach is working with one individual typically, here you're often operating in a complex context that includes the hiring manager, the HR leader, sometimes the board, and other key executives in the organization. There's always things that come up along the way, and one needs to be in a position to influence the outcomes. In one particular situation, when I was working with an entrepreneur who hired a CEO to scale up the business, I found that it was critical at one point for me to give feedback to the entrepreneur because he was not providing the space for the CEO to take charge of his team and move forward. I couldn't have done that if I hadn't built that trust and that relationship with the entrepreneur before the leader came on board. Given the number of moving pieces, transition coaching often feels like playing improvisational jazz, where one needs to see where the other players are going with the music and adapt to the context. Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more content. You could visit the curated playlist section for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant for you. You might be specifically interested in the playlist Settling into a New Context. This has perspectives from people from various domains, including what Dr. Ramachandra Guha says about how Gandhiji settled into India and started driving the independence movement when he moved here from South Africa. To access this, please go to the curated playlist page and click on Transitions. Within that, you will find the playlist Settling into a New Context. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.